In this episode, I talked to Adam McKay from McKay Property. He's been in business since 2010 and has experienced all kinds of ups and downs in his business. We talk about the technology that he's used in the past, what he's using now, and how he's making sure that his business will survive in the medium to long term while also thriving in the short term. Okay, so Adam, a lot of agents look up to you as somebody that is very good with technology and very into marketing and does great videos and is sort of on, has got their finger on the pulse, if you like. So I'm interested to explore not just the good things that you've experienced, but some of the things that seemed good and maybe struggled with, and so that agents can maybe take a shortcut to through some of your learnings. If we wind all the way back when you first started in estate agency, I'm guessing at that point the technology and social media and everything was pretty much non-existent. Is that right?
I'm trying to think. When I first met you, I think it was about 1999, 2000. So we're just getting that new age of internet. But my journey started in 1993 when I was sticking the photographs on the fronts of the property details and sending out thousands of letters, which I know you don't agree with anymore. But at an early stage, I'd been trained as graphic design, went to school and college, and I could see that estate agents in general, although they might be great agents, they weren't marketeers. So naturally, that's how my career, I was always pushing the boundaries of the marketing in my early years, getting a better camera, professional right. Photographs. And I know everyone's doing that now, but back then it was a new thing. The biggest thing which I've learned the hard way is going down different avenues and getting shiny object syndrome, chasing this newest thing, and end up having loads of things which don't talk together. And then you end up getting confused and you drop that one and start this one. So that's where I've got myself in a bit of a muddle and probably had too much tech, but not doing anything with it.
So let's just dig into that for a little minute. How does that start? What's the mindset that someone's in when they're thinking, oh, this looks good? And how did it end up in the stage where it's like the next, oh, that looks good as well? And then on to the point of, what the hell is going on? Like, because obviously every decision at the time seemed like a good one.
Yeah.
So where does it begin?
Well, my agency, I launched in 2010.
Yeah.
I started using QR codes quite early on, when they weren't as popular as they are now. That worked a little bit for a time. And then it sort of fizzled out. I noticed no one will scan them on the boards and things like that. And I think everything was working, and then you have a tough quarter and a tough half year, and then you stress and you lose some hair, and you're like, oh my God, I've got all this stuff. Am I using that? Oh, I forgot about that. Am I using that? And I think the biggest thing for me was, the CRM, to send the newsletter, I had to download the CRM, get that into the newsletter, the latest one I was using. I've gone through quite a few over the years. BombBomb, I liked that for a few, the embedded videos in, but again, they didn't talk to anything else. Or if it did, you've got to then be an IT wizard. And you can't, as a small agency, you can't afford to have a IT person full time connecting everything. The last year or so, I've tried to simplify things and I've learned the hard way by trying to do too much and just do the basics.
When you started, like 2010, what did you have in your toolkit then? What did you start off with? And even just go from the basics, like day one.
Day one, I employed a graphic designer. Yeah. I did my work experience with when I was 16 to design me a website. I actually had social media, Facebook back then. And he helped me set up all like the bits of that. And then, would you believe a leaflet drop? I didn't do another leaflet drop for about 8 years, actually. I wasn't big into leaflets. And business cards, letterhead, all the compliment slips, the old-fashioned sort of stuff, and literally just folders and a company brochure.
Yeah. Some sort of CRM, I guess, from the beginning.
Had a basic CRM, a CRM which didn't really market properties, just stored data. And then I had a separate Excel spreadsheet where I'd have my hot buyers and people I wanted, local people, and I was on my own. So I just as the phone rang, I got excited.
And then I guess, as new products come out, like you say, like the new shiny thing comes, you just sort of think to yourself, that sounds good, I'll kind of give that a go. And
well, I first come across Chris Watkin at a business coaching event in 2014, and that's when I started getting my eyes open to other things. And he pushed, at the same time he wanted to do video, he hadn't done videos then. I sort of got on the back of that, and I was seeing him every 90 days at these business coaching events, and I could see video working, so then I kind of got the habit of thinking everything I do, which is going to be a bit different, is going to work. Unfortunately, it didn't. Yeah. So some of the products and I was using, and it's only as good as how well you're using it, isn't it? Mm. And how well your team's using it. So you might talk about it and implement something, but unless you make sure your team are using it on a daily basis, there's no point having a bit of tech if it's not getting utilised properly, unless it's doing it automated.
Yeah. And not at 2010 to 2014, how much had your agency changed then to start going down that route of
2010, 2014, there wasn't a huge growth. Well, there was a huge growth at percentage terms because we were growing. But yeah, it was when I implemented video, that's when it really started. A lot of things changed. We changed location as well, office location to more of a high street location as well. And that made a huge difference. But yeah, the video marketing and Facebook ads made a huge impact to the company.
Yeah. How many team did you have then?
Three. And yeah, so we're about 10 now. Yeah.
And then, so you obviously, as the company starts to do better financially, you get more staff, you've a better office, and you start looking at what the next stage of growth might be, because obviously, I guess in the early days of a company, it's sort of all hands to the pump, you're working on your own, and or maybe you've got some help somewhere, but anything's a win, isn't it, in the early days?
Yeah.
And then gradually, as the company starts getting bigger, you need more consistent and bigger wins. Otherwise, you just sort of feel like I know everyone's getting paid except me. So, as that starts happening, I guess, like you said, you have sort of peaks and troughs and good times and bad times. And when you're in the bad times, you're sort of looking at some of the products from a little bit more of a critical eye. Where do you feel like you sort of evolved away from that and into perhaps a bit more where you are today with it? If you're even happy with where you are, technology-wise today.
I'm definitely happy with the I feel like I've got a lot of work to do on. I've definitely dived into the content marketing. I've probably not been as good as being consistent and having the right systems in place. I do feel like, I'm with Lifecycle now, and I think it's the right system ongoing for us as a company. It's easy to use, to get content out, to nurture people. But as Rob Bells knows, you've got to put the right effort and you've got to have the right plan. So, I'm pleased to have you guys, with me by my side, driving the business forward. So I'm really, focused on, making those new changes and not just having it sitting there, not doing anything with it. I'm focused on, making sure we've got all the different journeys mapped out, not just for, people in our database, but obviously, the social media ads and some print marketing, which I know you probably don't like.
Yeah, no, it's all right with me. I don't mind. But for somebody who's like I said to you before we started recording, I don't want this to become an advert for Lifecycle.
No.
I just want to talk about you and where you are with it, and the fact that you are with Lifecycle means inevitably it's going to come up. So that's fine. But I'm trying to get tangible stuff for somebody who's there. They're looking at, I don't know, maybe they're looking at logical things like you should do, like, I don't know, the price of Lifecycle. They'll look at the price of Lifecycle and think to themselves, this is all very good, but like that's going to cost me quite a lot of money. I think I like the idea of doing video, I like the idea of this, I'm going to try these things first. Like I say, I'm not trying to convince anyone to go a different route. I just want to talk from your own experience. Like, what made you suddenly think, you know what? I'm going to go from a situation whereby I can see a lot of money coming out of my account for all these different things I'm going to use in, to suddenly start seeing a lot of money coming out of my account for one thing that I may not use.
and I think it's, I've done a few things like automated payments on the letting side, which saved a staff member. So I think the time saving, you've got a good bit of technology in your company, can be huge. But the thing that made me really dive in was looking at the business And it's talking to people like yourself as well, who understand business, looking at, you know, what systems do you need for the business with 50, a team of 50 or 100 or 200. And I was looking at how I was running the business then, and also thinking if something bad happened and I wasn't available, you know, it couldn't work. You know, Michael, my co-worker, had an accident last year, and that made me think, well, that had been me. You know, how would the business run? And it was all too messy. You needed simplifying. So that was a big factor, is making it, you know, having a plan. Could suddenly I had to, you know, got an opportunity to buy an agency, you know, massively bigger than me for some reason. Would the systems work? No, they wouldn't. So I need to get them in now, and that should enable me to scale faster.
Got it. So it's more about thinking of the long term rather than like, yeah, but I could save a little bit of money here and I could piece all this together and connect it with wires under the table and that'd work. But as soon as I try and scale this, it's going to blow up in my face.
I always think of like moments and stories and stuff. And there was a moment just after lockdown where another agent said to me, why are you doing all those fancy videos? If anything will sell at the moment. I said, I'm not doing it for now.
Yeah.
I'll do it when the market changes.
Yeah.
And he looked at me completely blank. He still thought I was mad. Yeah, this local agent I've known in 20 odd years. And he's like, I don't understand why you're spending extra time. Like, you're not charging extra for them and all that. And I was like, well, it's not for now. It's for when the market turns. And they'll, you know, if you've got the best marketing, they should come to you. Yeah. So I had a plan. And I think having a plan in agency is something a lot of agencies don't have.
Yeah. And I suppose, like, you know, to be fair to, not that many people are out there thinking, yeah, I don't have a plan. But to be fair to the short-term thinking, you know, for the past few years, you haven't really needed long-term thinking, have you? Just to make money, you can just take on houses and sell them.
Yeah.
So anyone who is doing what you're talking about, whereby you've got an eye on the long term, you've got to be quite passionate about, or perhaps not passionate, perhaps you've got to have lived through being burnt in the past, which on a wave of success, and then come crashing down and go, actually, none of that was to do with me.
Yeah.
I didn't influence that. It was just a boom in the market.
Exactly, yeah. And I remember being in my younger years working when I was employed, and we'd had two big house sales, which was unusual for that company, which were two massive fees, and it just propped up that 6 months. And I remember my boss at the time saying to me that 6 months later, I thought we were doing all right, but actually when I look back, take those two deals out, we weren't. Mm. And so
that's quite interesting then, from that point of view, like, you know, what's happened that's made you be more conscious of the medium to long term? Because naturally, just not just as estate agents, just as humans, we're more interested in the short term gain, right?
Yes.
So something must have happened to you where you think to yourself, like, if I don't start thinking about this. Yes, okay, you know, I'm not against letters. I just see them as a short-term win.
Yes.
So that's fine, do it. But what's happening in the medium and long term? That's a bit more hard for people to put their time and effort into, isn't it? So what happened that made you think about that?
The company's best year to up until 2018 was 2018. 2019, I went backwards for the first time. So I'd never had a year experience that. There was a few things happening in my life which I'd experienced stress levels which I'd never had before like that. Added to the fact I wasn't really keeping my finger to the pulse on the company, and all of a sudden we went backwards, and I was like, oh, not, this hasn't happened before, which made me really think. Then lockdown happened, it started 2020, and that gave me time to think, and I really spent a long time during that period where we all had time to think, well, what do I want as a company? What do my team to look like? What do I want it to look like in 10 years, 5 years? What's my exit strategy? I hadn't thought about that before. You know, what type of company do I want to have? And, you know, and looked at the fees as well. Are we charging what we're worth? Am I charging what I'm worth? You know what I mean? Yeah. So that, I really went granular on it and reached out. There's lots of people in the industry sharing ideas, wasn't there? So, and so I picked your brains and picked other people's brains and, you know, and took things which I wanted to from each different party and thought, right, this is the company, and sort of mapped out what I wanted to create and the people I wanted to work with as well. I didn't, and the clients I wanted to work with, most importantly. Now I walk away from, I tell my team to walk away from stuff. If it's not right, it's not a right fit. And at the beginning, the early days, you know what it's like. You just chase anything. I'd have driven to Scotland to sell a house if I had to, do you know what I mean? And done it for free, do you know what I mean? That's why I sell in the mindset. I definitely was addicted to working, not addicted to the journey and keeping to the,
building a business,
which I know we've spoke about a lot over the past. But yeah, it's.
I think like 2020, I remember meeting you and you were in that explorers, like you're just trying to find your true identity of what you wanted to be as a business. I remember just having those conversations and you'd done videos, but I think in that point in my mind, you started to really trial the videos that you see today are completely different to when you started. And going back to that conversation of that person you spoke to, like you can certainly see like you explored that and you've just got better and better and better and better.
And I think I had a underlying, like, do I deserve success? I was, do I actually deserve it? So I sort of treat it similar to like when I was young, single, chasing girls. Like, I used to enjoy the chase, not so much. But I used to really enjoy it. And I think I was, I don't think I was ready for success. Because I was like, what happens then? Do you know what I mean? Yeah, but some clever people said, like, you just got to set new goals. You know, you just got to keep moving the goalposts. I had a business coach at once, and we set a goal for a year. I said, if we hit that, you can buy the watch you want. I'm quite materialistic, but I went. So he sent me off. He said, take a day off, go and buy the watch. I didn't buy the watch I wanted. And I come back to the next time I saw him, he went, show me the watch. And I showed him this watch. He was like, that's not the watch you wanted. And I didn't realise why I'd done it. He was like, you just like the chase, don't you? So I think that, that understanding of, yourself can really teach you a lot.
And what changed in that? So like going from that chase, short term, usually chase is short term.
Short term thinking.
Like, going to chase that. Oh, it's like the next thing, next shiny thing.
Then
going long term.
We was at an event recently, weren't we, where someone really, I've never met him before, Spencer. Really enjoying the journey, I think. So you have that long term goal and just enjoy the journey. And that's not doing the quick wins. It's not having
What changed in that? What did you? Because you had you've had to change as a leader.
I think there was a lot of different conversations coming out of lockdown.
Yeah.
Like Stephen Brown, Chris Watkin, Perry Power, Ian Story, a good agent, but he's changed his life around completely and gone from a 999 agent to now charging 2% and everything. He's been a very good friend to me over the last couple of years and we share a lot of ideas. Perry Power, again, the same. And actually an ex-client who's a friend of mine. And he was like, I don't think you should be selling the big ones. And I think the people I'd worked with previously I'd sucked in their feelings and they're like, we won't get that. We won't get that one. I'll be the high-end agent down the road who'll get that one. We don't deserve it. It's over a 10-15 year period that starts becoming your life. But all of a sudden I remember going for a pub lunch with my friend, just two of us, and he was like, what you did to my house, and he paid me a bonus, and I was like, you're my ideal client, because I've been on one of your courses where mapping out your ideal client. I thought, he is my ideal client. He trusted me and paid me a bonus because we got a good price over the asking price, guide price. But then he just sat there and was like, I think you undervalue yourself. Don't you charge enough? Mm. Why do you have to be the same as the others? Yeah. Charge more, charge up front.
I think it's an interesting concept, isn't it? Because it sounds like you've moved away from, and it's easy to say this, I guess, when, you've had your business now for 13 years. Yeah. So inevitably, to be in business that long, things have to have gone reasonably well, and cash flow has improved, and things, and you have money to spend. And so it's easy to say, I turned it around because of this or that. Obviously, 13 years down the line, you would like to think it's easier than on day one, but it's interesting that you are taking on still the chase and the challenge, but the chase and the challenge of taking the business now to another level.
With me out of it.
Yeah, like anyone can.
So it works.
You're sort of looking at it like, yeah, it's great. Anyone can go around the house and get it on for 500 quid.
Just you talking there made me realise probably 2019, which was my toughest ever year, was probably the best thing that ever happened to me. Because I think if I had smashed it in 2019, I'd have sat back in 2020, loads of money in the bank, and thought, this is all right, I'll get to be at home for 3 months. And I probably wouldn't have been in the same mindset where, what do I need to do? Because, my back was against the wall.
It's like when you get someone who get, when you get made redundant from somewhere and then end up in your sort of dream job, isn't it? It's the same thing has happened to me in my business life, whereby I can look at the key points were all in the troughs. You know, at the time, like, you would have done anything to avoid this drop, and you were like, why is this happening to me? But you only really then get to... It's like a learning, isn't it? It's like, okay, so I see what went wrong there. I could probably rebuild this better.
Yeah, you know, like, I'm big into sport, and a good client of mine actually taught me at a young age about sport and business going, you know, hand in hand, and he, you know, runs a big team in the city. And when, you know, I played golf for him, he used to always talk about how he manages his team members and relates it to sport. And you learn more from your bad days, don't you? So, yeah, you do. So there's no point.
Yeah.
It was quite interesting. You know, they always say about you only develop with the circle you're involved within. Yeah. And, like, you know, like, you always talk about your story around changing and you fell into a different group of people. It seemed like with you, like, you went, this is who I'm now. I want to find the people who I almost want to be, I believe I'm going to probably be these people, and I want to be around them more, because I'm more likely to find greater knowledge and greater understanding from those people who are actually in the shoes I want to feel.
Yeah, and it's interesting you say that, because again, as you're talking, I'm thinking, from 2019 to now, I don't socialise with the people I did. Mm-hmm. Back then, I've still got friends who I do, but if I sort of gravitate towards the friends who are really driven, interested in business, I like talking about, but not, I don't want to go to the pub and just talk about football. Like,
no, that's right.
Yeah, so that's what gets my juices flowing. Mm.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? Because same for me. I can remember, like, thinking that I was quite an unsociable person, because I'd find myself in situations where everyone was having a conversation, I wasn't really interested in it. And so they were like, oh, you're quiet.
And then you come across like you're being rude.
Yeah.
You're not.
and then you find a group of people that are interested in what you're interested in. You can talk for an hour. You can stay up. You could just talk forever. Yeah. You know? Yeah. So that's quite interesting. But I suppose, like, it's a difficult one to learn then, isn't it? Because, like, technically what we're saying there is, like, everything's got to fall apart on you before you can learn it. And I guess, you know, that's the same with your kids. It doesn't matter how many times you tell them not to, like, run down that slippery slope, until they fall over and hurt themselves, they're going to keep running down it. But what's the best advice you could give to somebody who is maybe they're in your version of 2018?
Yeah.
Whereby they're going like, but you know, everything's good. We've grown every year. We're where we are. We're sending out our letters. We're living day to day.
Yeah, I think go and find someone who's, you'd love to, maybe you can't see yourself there at the moment, but go and speak to an agent who's sold their business, or you think, well, that could be me in 15, 20 years, depending on what your age is, longer, and pick people's brains. And to say, what should I be doing? Thinking about the future. Because it's very easy to, if you have a great month, great quarter, great year, to think, oh, everything's rosy. But what happens if you've got your two best key members leave tomorrow? Have you still got a business? Have you got a training onboarding program? Have you got the systems to let someone come in and straight away? Or is it going to take them 8 months to get going? Because you never know what's around the corner, do you? One of my biggest clients is in the landlord side of things. Suddenly, I never thought he'd sell any properties, and he's selling 8 of his farmhouses. And I'm like, whoa, but if we weren't prospecting for our business, you'd be in you lose 20% of your business overnight. That could happen to someone, couldn't it? Yeah.
Okay. So then, talking about today, like, and where you are with it at the moment. We mentioned before you decided to move to Life Cycle. That's quite a big internal change, as well as not just from your own mental perspective as to why. How do you justify that with the team? And we're all going to use a new system, and the issues that could create internally. How did you deal with that?
Well, something I've worked hard on is communication in the last since 2019. When you're really busy, and I was doing 80% of the valuations, it was hard for me to communicate because I wasn't in the office, but that's changed now. Well, it's the other way around. So I made sure before I'd made a decision, everyone had seen the videos you'd sent over, everyone had sat on calls. So I said, this is the decision I'm making, but I want to make sure everyone understands it before we go ahead. And so everyone bought into it and made sure, instead of just getting told this is a new system, I understood it before.
Right.
Maybe not understood it, 100%, because I think it takes a while for people to...
To avoid some confusion. That yeah, you've gone, no, but, I'm going to do this system, and everyone's still thinking, well, like, what even is this?
Yeah, but yeah, I've been shocked. Like, you know, some of the people I thought would really struggle using the system have really embraced it and, you know, take to it like a duck to water, really. So I can't complain. Yeah. So I'm forgetting the question now.
No, I just that was it, really. I was just trying to see how you managed that transition of... You know, bringing in a random little shiny toys, as you put it earlier in the conversation, it's not that hard to justify to people, because it's a one-off. Like, look at this, we can send video and email. Oh, that sounds great. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Saying, you know what? Let's fundamentally change every system that we use and the way that we think about estate agency is a little bit harder to push through, isn't it?
It does bring its challenges, and there's like, you know, oh, how do we do this? And that someone's forgotten. But I think it does bring the team together as well, because they're communicating over those little bits. And I said, like, in 3-6 months' time, you know, we'll be even further down in a year's time. So, no, I'm lucky that all the team are all on board.
Love it. Is there anything that they're doing differently now using that technology?
I think the one thing that sticks out is it shows you who are the people, firstly, looking at the properties online who are registered for you. So we had a scenario the other day where a sale which was going through was live 6 or 7 times on another property, which we just launched. They hadn't asked to view it yet, but indicates to me and made me realise, like, yeah, we're taking people's homes off the market, and buyers are always really pushing for that. But the buyers are still in the market, aren't they?
Yeah.
They're still getting the environmental updates. They're still getting all the updates from the agents they're registered with. And they're on our website looking at the property, six, 7 times in a day. So, like, you know, that shows you that they're considering they could pull out.
Yeah.
Which made me think about, do we start doing reservation agreements, all that sort of stuff.
That's interesting. That's quite interesting. But from somebody's, whenever I listen to an agent talk about that, because the people talk about that a lot with Lifecycle, like, it's amazing being able to see who's reading your content, it's amazing being able to see who to call, who's looked at properties. For somebody that hasn't experienced it, I always think to myself, that person's probably just thinking, well, anyone can do that, because, you know, you can see who's opened emails. So in a practical way, I'm just thinking, how does a system actually tell you who to call and it works, as opposed to, yeah, it says that, but, like, that's just bullshit.
So I had, in the height of 2020-21, we had about 10,000 buyers. And you'd do a match on our old CRM, I won't name any names, but you do a match and you'd have like 3,500 people. Well, where does the negotiate agent, whether you call them, know where to start then? Well, they don't, do they? Just send the email and hope for the best.
Call a database.
yeah, it's like, you know, whereas this system, it really, yeah, you can be very granular on the road. So, you know, when you're registering the buyer, I think it's very important to make sure the buyers are registered, you know, in a certain way. And, you know, I'm lucky enough to have a system which now you can do. If they only want to live in that side of the road, they can tell the system that, and they can register themselves. I had a property yesterday, and there's like 64 matched buyers there, which we know because of the way the buyers are registered, there's 64 people generally. So it's forming a massive part of our pre-launch. You know, so, like, we don't go to the portals for 7-10 days, depending on how we launch it. And the agents know they've got that long to speak to those, however many buyers are registered. So, hello, sir, madam, send them a WhatsApp video. This one's launching in 10 days on the main site portals. And do you want to have an early viewing? So I think that's a real practical. And I can't see any, and when I made this change, I spoke to everyone, do you know what I mean? I made sure I wanted to get a decision right for the business, and that none of them could be as granular as that.
And do you genuinely think that that could be a way whereby agents could escape this problem they've got with the portals?
Yeah, 100%. I've got a partner agent in a different location to me, first one. Luckily he's at his first completion today, so I'm meeting him later to celebrate, and he just can't believe it. He just literally, yeah, he's never seen anything like it. He's like,
What bit of it is it?
Obviously, again, it's easy to create a link to the property on your own website. You've got the heads up alert, so he's doing social media.
Well, let's just, hold on, let me just break that down, because someone will be thinking, easy to make a link for a property on your website. I mean, I can do that. I've got links on my website.
Well, I couldn't do that without putting it live, you know, everywhere. So, yeah, the old fashioned was like, you stick it on everywhere, now sees it. Well, now we've got a system where we'll...
And then use your Rightmove link, wouldn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
I remember that time, for a period of time, we're like, right, you're moving on life cycle, stop using Rightmove.
And then wonder why the inquiries are coming through Rightmove. But, okay, so in life cycle, you're getting a link whereby it's not on the portals yet, and you can see if someone's in your database and they look at that link, whether they go to it through Facebook or wherever they go to it, you can see that someone's been looking at it. That's what you're talking about, right? So he's amazed by that bit.
And then, you know, you've also got the registration form. So during the pre-launch, you know, we might not even put the property link in. We might just put a few photos or a video, some sort of marketing, and say, this property looks like, you know, it could be for you. And he's been quite clever. You know, he's highlighted, like, in an area, quite a lot of people move from a 3-bed to a 4-bed, 4-bed to a 5-bed in those areas, and there's Facebook groups. So he's showing them into the Facebook groups, popping the register, you're interested, if you're interested in the price or anything about this property. You're then getting potential movers who need to have their house sold, and it's not even hit Rightmove. He's lined up 4 or 5 viewings, a couple of valuations off the back of it, and he's like, well, well, at one point, we won't need one.
So an agent, yes, exactly right. So, but an agent who's thinking, well, yeah, but I could just put the Rightmove link in those groups. Like, what's the medium to long-term difference in that strategy?
Think I look at it as what the end client's going to feel. So I think the client gets wowed by that. Oh, they've not even put it on Rightmove yet. We just thought all agents put it on Rightmove. Mm. And the fact that they've instructed us in the first place, they must have bought into us in some way. But when it's easy saying something and then doing something different to what another agency would be doing, because the another agent puts it on straight away.
We call it our database, but actually it's on Rightmove the next day.
Yeah, because what's different with him, my partner agent, is Michael is, you know, we're about 2.5 hours apart from each other. And the markets are quite vastly different, you know. He's like, he's been out on the valuation, they want it photographed that afternoon and on the market, they might move the next day. I'm like, hold on, calm down. Yeah. But, you know, we do like 2 weeks pre-launches sometimes down here. So he's trying to be different up there, but the clients are still quite demanding. So they've got to believe that, you know, the process is going to work.
Yeah. That's a great, there's a great analogy around that. Me and Rob were talking about it earlier, that I was saying, you know, estate agents, even though the client says, I just want you to get me on Rightmove, if they don't see that you're putting effort in, they're not happy to pay for it. And the analogy that I was giving to Rob was, you know, if for some weird reason you went to this parking meter in a car park and it only took 50 pence pieces, and you didn't have any 50 pence pieces on you, but you saw someone walking past and said, "That's supposed you've got a 50 pence piece, have you?" And the guy said, "I'll sell you one for 2 quid." You'd go, "No, I'm not paying 2 quid for a 50 pence piece." However, if that same person said to you, "I haven't got a 50 pence piece, but I've got a tenner on me, and what I'll do, if you want, is I can run quite quick, and I'll run to the closest shop, which is about a 10-minute walk away, but I reckon I can get there in like 3 minutes, and I will get my tenner changed up into 50 pence pieces, and I will run all the way back. If I do that for you, can I have 2 quid? You'd probably go, "All right." You know, you get a worse deal because you've got to wait 6 minutes. You get sweaty 50 pence piece.
Yeah.
But because of you see the effort, you're happy to pay it. And estate agents that go, "We can get you on Rightmove tomorrow," like, it kills their business.
As an agent, I know no one likes putting a house on the market. It's not an enjoyable experience. Their neighbours see their friends. Mm. You know, we've had people inquire about, "Can you tell me the price?" on social media. I don't want the house, I just know the person who lives there. Like, so people don't want that to happen. So what better way to say, "I can sell you a house if you want. Yeah. I've got these 85 buyers.
Yeah, I did all the work.
21 people is in a hot position. You know, they can buy a house now. Do you want me to get them around now?"
Yeah. Like, and that way you're critical, not Rightmove.
Yeah, exactly.
You're critical. And then, like, you want access to this, you need to use me.
And then they say, "Yeah, what's your fees? Can you negotiate?" Say no.
Yeah.
And the other agent said nothing similar. And they're like, so, yeah. It
makes you a bit different, doesn't it?
Yeah, anything that's a USP is going to be good. But, you know, I think it's having those tools in your toolkit are going to help your business be, you know, bulletproof, aren't they, going forward, I think.
But to get there is, again, just coming back to that, integrating it with the staff. That's the tricky bit, isn't it? Because I'm guessing that if you're an estate agent listening to this, you're thinking, "Well, that's brilliant. I'd love that." And then you take one step further to finding out about it, and it's like, yeah, but you've got to change your whole CRM, and you've got to change the way that you're going to think about this, and you've got to do, oh, forget it,
yeah.
You know.
And I've been there, you know, I was like, oh, I don't, you know, yeah, like, you know, you were saying to me, why are we not going ahead? And I'm like, oh, I don't like the market report. Yeah. So he's like, it doesn't matter. And I've got my head right. You know, I've been there. I've been there, like, you know, trying to be like...
Well, how can it not matter then? If it mattered to you once, and I'm saying it don't matter, and you're like, yeah, but it does. How have you managed to get to the stage where you're like, no, you're right, I really don't?
Because it's the power in the data, yeah. It's the power in the data. I think it's, yeah, it got through to me eventually. It took, but, you know, I don't mind telling, you know, I came and went, didn't I? Yeah. But you know, I had it when it was a marketing product. Cut back in lockdown, obviously. And, you know, as soon as it's a full CRM, I could see the, I wish I hadn't gone.
Maybe that switch of short term to medium term.
Yeah,
Maybe the market report was short term, wasn't it?
At that point, I was looking at my bank balance thinking, that's an area I can cut back, yeah. You know, and then... When I start looking long term, I was like, that's what I need. Yeah. I had a taste of it. So, and I definitely feel, you won't stop improving as well. I think it's you've got innovation, you're looking at, you're sending stuff on the WhatsApp group the other day about all the AI bits and bobs. I think it's going to be one of those systems which keeps improving, and, you know, it's going to nurture more and more and create more leads.
So, that's an interesting one, then, isn't it? Like, you know, where do you, regardless of what we've said or what you've heard, where do you see the future of estate agency in terms of how does an estate agent stay relevant with all this new technology that's coming along? What makes somebody actually want to use an estate agency? And what can you see coming that maybe you think, oh, in a dream world, maybe there'd be technology that did this for us?
And I think it's coming full circle. I think when I first started in the 90s, it was like your hot box and you knew your database, and I think that's been lost a little bit. Mm. And I had a team meeting yesterday, and I said, that's what I want it to go. That's what I want us to, you know, you might know a few, yeah, but you know, I want us to know our database inside and out, and they're going to be nurtured obviously via the system, but I want us to use the time and the technology, time saving, to be able to get to know our buyers and potential clients more, which, you know, build those relationships, create more leads, and, you know, go back to, yeah, I think technology, AI in particular, you know, is going to hopefully give not just agents but people in business more time to speak to their potential clients.
Yeah, I had an interesting conversation with someone the other day, actually, they were talking about this fact that, you know, people can register themselves into Lifecycle. One of our agents had put a video up about how great it was for them. And someone else was talking about how they feel like that you're giving away an amazing opportunity to build a relationship with somebody. I didn't really get involved with it, but, you know, I thought it was quite interesting that I think they're missing the point there, because you're not building a relationship by somebody by taking down their first name, surname, email address, and that's not the bit where you build the relationship.
No, the after.
Yeah, it'd be nice to have all that presented to you, and then you can actually have a.
But they can do that. They can do that while they're stirring their spag bowl in the evening, because that suits them.
That's right. And then once they've told you their whole circumstances and what they're looking for and whether they've got a mortgage and if they've got a house, once they've told you all of that, then you can build a relationship with them, right?
And it's so much different, especially like if you look at the mortgage side to it. Even on that part to it, like we were only at the conference the other day and someone was talking about mortgages, and they were saying that it's sometimes hard for staff to ask those particular questions because it feels a bit awkward. Yeah. But if the person's giving you the data free without you even asking for it, it's like creating a form, you're presented that information. So when you do make that actual phone call that is the next level of getting to know them, it's a hell of a lot easier if you've gone, thanks for letting us know haven't sorted out your mortgage. So, like, you know, should we explore that and help you get that AIP in place? Like, rather than the awkward question of,
Do you need a mortgage?
Or like, what's your mortgage circumstances? Or,
I don't want to talk about it.
I don't want to talk about it. Like, those similar questions that come up, like, and we've seen the data where people are happily give our clients that information.
And having that link to hand is so useful. Like, yeah, I'm not front facing a lot, but particularly recently, I've had a bit of short staff, so I was at the front and I picked a call up, and it was a good inquiry for a nice property. Really nice lady on the phone, wanted to view that property. She wasn't registered with us already. she wasn't interested in talking. She obviously had a high-powered job. She was like, I haven't got long, but can I come with you at 3 o'clock on Saturday? And I was like, yes, I can. I need to get some details for you. She haven't got long. I said, I'll tell you what, you're on WhatsApp. She's like, yeah. I was like, I'll WhatsApp you a link. Before I did the link, I said, oh, it's nice to talk to you, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
here's the video of the property. Here's a link to register. I need your details. And my team were like, well, that was pretty cool, wasn't it? And I put the phone down. I was like, 5 minutes later, she'd filled it in while she was at work. She'd done it at work on a laptop or whatever. And she texted me later on saying, I can't believe how granular I could get on that.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, and, you know, we'd have to be on the phone for 45 minutes if I told you all that. You know? And I was like, well, now I only need to borrow 800 grand as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And she's going to get your newsletters and she's going to see your content. And she may buy that house or she may buy another one. Or she might turn into a vendor one day. She might have 500 properties under management. Who knows?
And I think the mortgage data, the mortgage opportunities with a system like I've got is huge. And it makes it more simple as a business. You're not relying on the team to make the right decisions because you've got the data. You know who's got to call. Haven't you? So you know they're going to get nurtured. So it's really good.
I love it. Okay, so let's try to wrap it up then. And although it's difficult, we've covered 13 years of your business life. Where you are today with business, would you say you're in quite a happy place with it at the moment? And what piece of advice might you give to somebody who is listening to this thinking like, well, Adam sounds like he knows what he's doing. I wonder what advice he would give me.
This wise man, I went to a conference recently and this wise man did a great talk about well-being and mental health. And
just to be clear, if you're listening on podcast, that's Rob he's talking about, not me. Yeah. I'm not wise.
And, one of my key points is on my phone, actually, is like, my screensaver, take action and be disciplined, because sometimes I have all these ideas, but I don't follow it through. So I was like, I left there on Thursday, or whatever it was, last week, and I was like, I'm gonna launch a well-being kit for the team. So, and we're going to do team exercises. And so we did a team exercise yesterday, and one of them was the wheel of life. Yeah. And I'd scored myself really low on career because I feel like I'm only just starting. I feel like I've got this new lease of life. I'm excited about the future and the last 18. I feel like, and my team go, you should be really proud. You've got 3 companies. Like, you should be right up there. I was like, yeah, but I feel like I'm on that bottom few steps. And they were like shocked. Mm. And I was like, it's not all rosy. I've got millions of pounds in the bank. Do you know what I mean? Hopefully, if I get there, I might have. But yeah, and I think, that comes back to the thrill of the chase, doesn't it? Like,
yeah.
But,
yeah, absolutely.
But,
so the implementation is what you're saying. Actually, not just going on the course, but then coming away from the course and doing the thing that you were supposed to do.
And I think task force in life cycle actually is fantastic for me because I could just move something to the middle in progress and that's what I focus on. Mm. That's the way to use it. Have all your projects. I need to have all these lists. And I've got a digital notepad now because I used to always lose my notepads and I wouldn't know where my lists were and I'd have 10 notepads on the go or whatever. So, I have my digital notepad and then I'll transfer that to task force and then I'll have my list and be like, right, I want to get that done next. And I think that in itself, and I tried Monday, Asana, all of them. That in itself, I think, having that embedded on a CRM is just a game changer.
Yeah, it's another one of them things, isn't it, whereby, like, it works in Asana and Trello and all that stuff, but I've got to remember to go there.
It's another login.
Yeah,
it's another login.
Like, when it's inside my system, it's just like, oh, I know, I'll put that in Taskforce.
Yeah, so I think limiting the logins is huge. Organisation, your question was, like, what tips... my biggest tip would be having a plan for your client and having a plan for yourself and your team. Default diary, one of the biggest things I learned was having that. I remember sitting with Chris Watkin and some other business leaders and I was like, yeah, but if a valuation comes in, like, you just got to go, haven't you? And I remember Chris going, what, 9:30 on a Monday? You just leave the office after your team meeting and just leave the team into dealing with like 70 viewing fee. But I was like, yeah, I would. And he's like, why would you do that? Mm-hmm. Just tell them you've got to go Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday afternoon. And that was one of the best things I did. Implementing video marketing and strategy around that and having a default idle diary, whatever you call it. And when things go wrong in a team, I go, did you stick to the diary?
Mm.
And they're like, no, actually, I didn't, did I?
Yeah.
And I thought, well, stick to the plan.
Having some structure.
When you had a good week, you had a structured week. Mm. And there's no point going on 3 valuations at home or consultations, whatever you call them. We call them home consultations. On the Tuesday afternoon, then you're out first thing on the Wednesday morning, Yeah, yeah, because you're not going to have time to write up the reports. We spend quite a lot of time on our reports, so you need time to get them done. So that's that'd be the biggest tip. And
love it. Okay. Anything else you wanted to ask, Rob?
No, it'd been great. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, awesome. Thanks very much.
Cheers. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for listening to this Estate Agency X podcast. Can you make sure that you're actually subscribed to this podcast channel if you liked the content? It helps us massively to get better guests, and it just helps us generally. So you might think you're subscribed, but just have a double check, whatever your podcast platform of preference is, that you're actually subscribed. And then that way we can continue to grow the channel and get better and better guests for you.